dear audience of Ruhr Triennale this year. Well, I am asked to make an introduction to the piece Danza y Frontera, which you will see this year at the festival. And yeah, first of all, maybe it would be important to say that it's the theater version. I work on volumes of research, and those volumes have different forms. Theater, for the theater, for the museum, and sometimes also beyond, like talk or book. And this is the theater version, which is very important in a way, because the piece and its characters, the people that dance, the danza of Danza y Frontera, are not all of them really within a theater tradition in the Western sense. They come from Mexico at the border with the US, and they perform this dance, which has enormous strength, as a way to appear in public space and be something else than what is expected for the working class youth to be in the context, which is to be part of the drug trafficking industry. So in a way, what the piece is really at the crossroads between a dance that is not to be found in theater and a theater in the tradition of European performance, which creates the conditions for these narratives to appear and to have somehow a political voice and a very strong emotional impact, I think. So I really want to invite you to see the piece and judge it by your own eyes. It is a crossing of borders through the desert. And in that desert, there are snakes. So it's not easy to cross, but it is possible.
You just heard Amanda Pina, choreographer of Danza y Frontera, talking about her piece you're about to see tonight at PACT. My name is Sora Abbossi. I'm a dramaturg of Ruhr Triennale, and I warmly welcome you to join a conversation I had with Amanda a couple of weeks ago around some questions I asked myself after seeing a show of Danza y Frontera. Ironically, this happened in Brussels, which is maybe the most colonial capital in the world. And I started thinking about the phenomena of time and the way the past continues existing within our presence. Usually, when we talk about time in Western societies, at least, we assume some sort of line which starts somewhere in the past and ends somewhere in the future. The border of these two realms is a fine but strong membrane, which we call presence. We don't deny that there are connecting lines, but usually we think of them as more immaterial ones, such as remembrance or moral and cultural imprints, for example. In Danza y Frontera, the past seems to appear in a much more physical and body-related way. How would you describe your concept of time, Amanda?
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I think you phrase it very beautiful, and it's a very specific and very sensitive questions. It is very important for me to work with another concept of time, temporality, than the Western, because I inscribe my work into sort of a decolonial method by which we don't want to repeat the same structures which create the destruction of Earth or the current situation we are found in, right? So we want to think with different references. And my references come from indigenous thought, Amerindian thought. Amerindian concept of time is ancestrality. So it is a mode of precedence. And this is very beautifully described by sociologist Rolando Vázquez. This mode of precedence establishes a relation by which what precedes me is in front of me because it's before me. So there is somehow a coming out of any translation of time and space. No, because the line of Western modernity, of development, of progress, is a translation of time and space, but time is exactly that which is not space. I think ancestrality is not a metaphor. I think we are literally the ones we have been in a long line that comes really, really far behind us, right? And if we look at the timeline of modernity, it's a very short period. So we have a lot of information stored in our bodies, in our cells, which is beyond that, which can account for other modes of being in the world, other modes of existing and being together. So I think the mode of presence is important for me. So somehow when I create a piece, it's a collective action. And what I like very much is to work with a method of composition. I call it composition and not composition, because composition would think of time as a line, right? And you have to develop stuff in time and with a dramaturgy that has, you know, a peak at a certain moment and so on. And the idea of composition would be to host collectively the reappearance of ancestral forms of movement and ancestral figures also. So in the piece, there are 46 figures that are many of them emergent that we didn't choreograph. We didn't say, now you do that. But they appear, they emerge from the performance. And this is something that I find very beautiful, and that is, it might be different to, you know, it follows another logic. But at the same time, that logic is a logic which is creole, which is mestiza, you know, because I work in Europe. I've been living in Europe for a long time. So I really work at the crossroads between these different traditions, I think. And this is important to say. When you look at it, it's important to allow yourself to go into that temporality, not try to judge it with the usual way of narrative, of time, of structure, of dramaturgy, of a Western performance, I think.
And does the passage of time scare you?
Well, I am very much at ease with the idea of death. And maybe that has to do with my being also Mexican, you know, which in Mexico there's really another concept of death. And it's not something like, I think in Europe is very difficult because the whole culture wants to hide that death, you know, but it's something that is impossible to hide because life is decay, you know. So it's like a failed project, you know. And that immense fear of death, I think, has to do with this idea of time as a line, because if you think of time through ancestrality, all those who have been before you are alive in you. So in a way, if you look at your hands, they are not only yours. You have received them, inherited them. They are somehow lended by all the ones that you have been, and their experiences have formed them. And this is a very strong realization. So I think that is somehow an antidote for this immense fear, to understand that, you know, through life, we literally have been many, many others. And that, I again, can somehow be a create a connection to historical time, but also to beings that are not only human, like, I don't know, rivers, lakes, which have nourished our body and flesh, you know, again and again. And that water, again, it doesn't disappear. So it just flows somewhere else or evaporates. I don't know. I see it as a continuum. I think life is... I don't think death really exists in that sense that we think, you know, because when you put the hand into a compost, it's like not very, it's like unheimlich, no? Like a bit like, it's not nice, but you don't know if it's not nice because that is dead or because it's so alive. Modern, Western modern colonial context, narrative, has this idea that we are pre-existent. Like nature is outside, but we are not depending on it. We are pre-existent from nature and from others. And that is not true. I think that is really a lie, a tale, a colonial, a modern colonial tale, a narrative. Because today we come up to the point to understand that, you know, we are totally interdependent and that we are created through relations. And indigenous people have known it all the way, and it's a much more relaxed form of being in the world for me. which allows you to be humble and allows you to recognize all that which hosts the possibility of your life to be there. So I really looked for references in that realm, and it made my life in art much easier because I think there is a lot of anxiety in this blown up idea of the self as pre-existent and independent.
What does border mean to you?
Well, what I understood from Rodrigo de la Torre, who has the experience of living in the border, you know, at the border between Mexico and the US, at the American side, like at the side of the US, is that the border is not a line, but it's a stripe. It's a territory you can live in. It's not a thin line as we picture, you know, like the wall of Trump or something like that. But it's this stripe, this is this place in which things are either or. They are not this and not that, but maybe a third thing, something which is more than the sum of the oppositions or the difference. For me, nation state borders are, and I think this is something that we can agree on from a historical perspective, are artificial. And also nation states are artificial. The different peoples living in I don't know, in Austria or in Spain or in Germany have been, you know, developing their sense of we through encounters with others. There is nothing like, you know, race is a construction. It's a European construction. It's a myth. It's not, there is nothing in race that we can track scientifically, you know. So I think what for me is important about borders is to understand them as territories, not as divisions. And in those territories, I don't know, between nation states, but also different concepts of aesthetic or different cultural conceptions, there is a lot of porosity, there is a flow, there's a constant flow that cannot be stopped. That is also an illusion. You know, so I envision a future in which, you know, the nation state becomes important just for certain organizational things, but we start thinking more planetary because we need to, in terms of protecting not the environment, but what sustains our living. You know, because the environment is such a bad concept, because who cares? Something around, abstract. No, that which gives us a good life, that which provide us of a good life, you know, and a future in which all the sort of these ideas of progress have to really change, you know, and the values that we have to strive for are really have to do with life quality, actually, not so much about capital accumulation. And I think that fluidity of borders can be a great chance to start thinking in a planetary way.